we've just read The Life of No Regrets, the text in which Dharmakara is inspired by his teacher to vow to become a Buddha himself and save all sentient beings, regardless of how well behaved those sentient beings are. Thank goodness. In the middle of the verse, he says, "To Buddhas countless as sand grains, my offerings I make." And if you understand this line, you understand the whole of Buddhism. Probably the same could be said for other lines too, but there is something about the relationship between a Buddha who is receiving what you offer and how you offer it that makes it a very special kind of offering. When we do the Naikwan and Chikwan practice, for instance, we're reflecting on our own lives, what we've received, what we've done for other people, what trouble we've caused. And then we make an offering of all of that stuff to the Buddha. And it is said that the Buddha receives all of that stuff completely. And I remember one of the first times I did this exercise, Dharmavijaya saying to me, "Whatever you think of that stuff yourself, maybe you've had a really shitty day and you've upset lots of people and you think, oh, I can't, there's this, as an offering, this is really quite worthless or less than worthless. The Buddha is able to take it and not just accept it, but even do something useful with it. He's able to transform the stuff that you offer into something valuable." So this is the kind of offering that we're talking about, but also it might be offering something wonderful to a Buddha. And of course, what I'm about to say has bearing upon how we offer things in all situations. When we offer something to a Buddha, it can be very difficult to offer it without, or when we offer something to anybody, it can be very difficult to offer something without expecting anything in return. So you offer somebody a Christmas present and you expect to get a Christmas present of equal value, at least, in return. Or even just a Christmas card, next year you expect to get a Christmas card. Lots of other situations like this. Or we do writing articles. You offer a piece of writing to the world and part of you is waiting to see how many people leave nice comments, how much feedback you get, whether it has any impact upon people signing up for the courses that we offer and so on. And that little voice is always turning. And actually, you can say, when you offer something like this, you haven't really let go of it. You're still holding on to whatever it is that you're offering. A true offering is when you can give a Christmas present and not be concerned about how it's received. And this kind of giving is enlightened giving. And of course, now I'm speaking from the position of somebody who is giving something, and I'm describing an ideal. When you offer somebody something, let go of any expectations completely. When you make a piece of artwork, don't worry about what people think of it. It's the act of giving that's important. Well, if you're already enlightened, you'll be able to follow these instructions to the letter. If you're like me, you won't be able to do that. You'll still have anxieties when you offer people things. But these two lines aren't written from the point of view of somebody perfect offering something into the world. They're written from the point of view of somebody who is doing some work on themselves and maybe will be perfect one day but isn't perfect at the moment. And the emphasis is on the fact that he's making these offerings to Buddhas. To Amida Buddha, well, he becomes Amida Buddha, but you could say to the sort of essence of Buddha-ness in the universe, and also to other people, other spiritual teachers. When you offer something to the Buddha, as I said at the beginning, it's received and transformed, or it's received completely gracefully, whatever it is you offer. You can imagine it's like a parent accepting a gift from their child. It may be the child has made a Christmas card and spelt it wrong and spilt glitter everywhere and it's stuck together with glue, and yet it's the most perfect thing the parent has ever seen. This is how what you offer to the Buddha is received, whatever it is. And it's this relationship which can be transforming. So when we do the Naikwen practice in a few minutes, I'll ask you to offer something to the Buddha, and do it knowing that it's received as a parent receives the sort of worst chosen gift from the gift shop. Why is this? Why did I say at the beginning, if you can understand these lines, you can understand the whole of Buddhism? Because actually everything we do in the world is like this. Whatever action we make, we do it leaving a trace in the world. But when a Buddha makes an action, they do it without leaving a trace, or they only leave, even more than this, they only leave a trace of love. And you can think of not just offering gifts, but offering your life into the world. When you do this, expecting to gain from what you do, you are accruing karma. You are setting yourself up for failure. You are engaged in hubris, as the Greeks would say. When you can offer yourself and be completely humble, this is the ideal state to be in. And it's not something, although we see these wonderful images of Buddhas that are all gold and look magnificent, actually the way they are in the world is not so often so grandiose, but often much more humble. If you can be in the world in this way all of the time, then you're much more spiritually mature than I am. But if you can offer what you are now, with all of its karmic baggage, to the Buddha, who will accept it and transform it and accept you just as you are, this is the place to begin the journey, to begin the spiritual transformation. It's not really a set of techniques, but something about the attitude with which one exists in the world.